Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now from Austria is Christian Schuller, who's the senior editor in the magazine and documentary department of the Austrian TV network ORF, where he previously worked as a correspondent in the U.S., Latin America, the Soviet Union, Turkey, and Iran. And currently he's developing a new magazine program called 1-1. Welcome to Background Briefing, Christian Schuller.
Hello.
So, Christian, the elections have alarmed some people in Europe. There's been a sense that the far right has been held off a little with the French elections, for example, and then the elections in the Netherlands. There were certainly gains in the recent German elections by the far right. But in Austria, it's pretty extraordinary how the Freedom Party took 27% of the vote. And the Conservative People's Party, led by the 31-year-old Sebastian Kurz, got 31% of the vote. And the left really took a drubbing, with the Socialist Party dropping to 26%. So the real issue now is, will Kurz choose to throw his lot in with the far right or go back to a coalition with the Socialist Party? So what's your guess on that?
Well, what we expect here, most of the journalists and most of the observers, is that there will be a right-wing coalition between the Christian Democrat Party and the populists, the so-called Freedom Party. This is the most probable result, and it has been expected. Also, the result of these elections had been expected, but it doesn't mean that there's no reason for concern.
Well, the fact that the Freedom Party was founded in the 1950s by former Nazis, it's true that there was a coalition with the far right under Haider in, 2000. Mm-hmm. But why is this evoking such alarm then?
Well, the alarm is because, first of all, this party is still growing in numbers, even compared to Haider's times, and especially what is more alarming is that the other parties are more and more adopting the Freedom Party's program and political positions. So there's a feeling that this populist party is kind of pushing all the other political actors into the right. And there seems to be no political recipe against them. And that's what is what raises concern. There's no strategy against the populists. There is no, and not even an awareness in the political elite that how dangerous this situation could be for the country.
So are you saying then that the Freedom Party, in effect, pushed Kurz to the right, since when he was Austria's foreign minister, he closed off emigration from the Balkans and his party was behind the banning of Muslim veils in public spaces, etc. Would that be a result of pressure from the right-wing Freedom Party?
Yes. I mean, of course, the situation has several layers. There's a psychological layer also. People in a country like Austria are very much afraid that their high standards of social system, social security, will more and more be eroded and more be undermined by immigration. So that's one main concern in Austria. And the populist party is exploiting this feeling while and demanding that those social benefits should be, of course, only reserved for Austrians and denied to migrants and to all kinds of foreigners. While on the other hand, the conservative party, so-called Christian Democratic Party, wants to reduce social benefits and social costs, and it is just using the opportunity of this discussion. So there's nobody defending the rights of the poor at this moment, and of course the populist party, the Freedom Party, has chosen this subject as its main topic. But on the other hand, there's also another reason for this strand of the populist party, which is in the in the party system in Austria, we have Austrian politics is dominated by two big parties like United States, but we have this system of this voting system, this election system, that makes it very difficult to have a clear majority. So we always had coalitions among the big two parties. People got tired of this coalition, and all the energy, all the protests, against this established two-party system is helping the populists. The populists are the voice of all those who are unhappy with the coalition system, and at the same time they are using this very deep sentiment against migrants.
And again, I'm speaking with Christian Schuller. He is a senior editor in the magazine and documentary department of the Austrian TV network, ORF, where he previously worked as a correspondent in the US, Latin America, the Soviet Union, Turkey, and Iran. And currently he's developing a new magazine program called 1-1. So in terms of forming coalitions, and I believe you'll know the final results will be in Thursday, is that right? In the next few days?
Yes, Thursday we will have, I think we will have the final results.
Right.
But there is almost no doubt about the main result, which is that the Socialist Party will be second, very close with the Freedom Party, on the third place. But it's very probable that the Conservative Christian Democratic Party and the Populist Party will form a new government.
Now, is there anything left, though, to work with? You've still got 15% small parties. The Greens did not register that much, did they?
Well, in this case, there was also a very unfortunate situation that there was a split in the Green Party, which made part of them not reach parliament because we have this 4% barrier.
Right.
And so for this reason, the Greens have been weakened, but also for another reason, this polarization and this strengthening of the Populist Party makes many people choose one of the bigger parties, in this case also the Social Democrats, rather than a small party, because people thought that in this case the Socialists are the only ones who could stop the right.
I see.
Which did not happen.
Well, it hasn't happened, but you're saying it's not likely to happen, right?
And no.
So it wouldn't be like the situation in Sweden, where they isolated the right, but the opposite happened in Norway, where they embraced the right in the coalition government. So you don't think that Kurz is going to isolate the Freedom Party, he's going to embrace it?
No, it will be embraced. No. Effectively, there's not so much ideological difference left between those two main parties, which means that the right, the political right, is representing 16% of the Austrian population.
Right.
Which is quite a lot.
Well, but this leader of the Freedom Party, Heinz Christian Strache, he's a pretty incendiary character, isn't he? Didn't the election campaign itself was pretty ugly, wasn't it?
The campaign was ugly, but compared to former campaigns, Mr. Strache, who isn't a teenager anymore, he became also a grey wolf, one could say. So this time he used a little bit more restraint because he felt that the political battle between the two main parties was so ugly and also seen as very ugly by the population that the Freedom Party could just sit and wait how those other parties are kind of hitting each other. But now, once there's the opportunity to get into the government and maybe being the only alternative even for forming a government, they will show their true face, I think. They are kind of, they want to demand as much posts as they can and as much influence as they can, of course, and we will see how this government will look. Whether Mr. Kurz, who has been very successful in this campaign, but whether he will be as successful in managing the negotiations with the Freedom Party. And but the so-called Freedom Party, of course, is a very Austrian phenomenon also in it. Although there are parties like this in other countries other European countries too. But the special Austrian situation is very much linked with Austria's role during World War II. I mean, it seems strange after 70 years that this is still so much a political factor, but it is, which means that Austria, after the Second World War, always tried to see itself as a victim of Nazism and not as an actor. And so this was kind of a consensus in Austria that we were not so much responsible for what happened during World War II. But of course this feeling was not the official position. The official Austria, of course, showed signs of regret and self-criticism, but in the population, there was a large segment of the population that continues to see itself as kind of a victim. And the Freedom Party expressed, and is still expressing, this feeling that it is unfair to see Austria as on a pair with Germany as being responsible for Nazism. And they play on this feeling. So they play both on the modern migration problem, and they play on something that is 70 years or 80 years old.
So will this be revived, this sentiment that you're talking about, Christian Schuller, if the European Parliament in Brussels comes down on the Freedom Party as they did in 2000 against Jörg Haider and Wolfgang Schlissel when he brought the Freedom Party into the government?
Exactly. That's what the Freedom Party is waiting for, I guess. As they are, of course, due to their ideological position, they are very much critical of the European Union, and what they try to provoke is a kind of criticism from Brussels, so that they can show themselves as the only defenders of Austria against the outer world and against Europe.
So that's very similar to what's happening next door in Hungary under Prime Minister Viktor Orban, right? He's championed illiberal democracy, as he calls it, and he's a huge fan of President Vladimir Putin of Russia.
Exactly, and there are more parallels. Some people already compare Mr. Kurz, the new chancellor, as it seems to be, to Mr. Orban, who at the beginning of his political career also was a Democrat and a liberal, but became more and more authoritarian. So far we don't have this in Austria, but the way Mr. Kurz portrayed himself during the campaign and the way he's treating his own party shows that there is this tendency to see politics in a much more authoritarian way. And then there's also another parallel between Hungary and Austria, which is this latent anti-Semitism. Although both countries have very few Jews left after Second World War, but there is this way of indirectly blaming Jews for many things. And in the Austrian campaign, in the electoral campaign, there has been an incident that played very well into this feeling that a scandal was revealed that the Social Democratic Party had prepared a dirty campaigning against Mr. Kurz, and the architect of this dirty campaigning happens to be an Israeli specialist, public relations. So the fact that Mr. Silverstein was the one who was to blame for this dirty campaigning played a big role in this campaign, and made me fear, and not only me but many other people, that this could also be the beginning of a revival of anti-Semitism.
Well, it's certainly happening. Whether it's solely a revival of anti-Semitism or just a revival of far-right politics, as we've mentioned, Hungary, also it's happening in Poland, in Germany. The Alternative for Deutschland party did very well in the last election. And now you've got a situation where you may have a right-wing coalition between Conservatives and far-right, even, well, a party that has its roots founded by Nazis. So what's going on in that broader context? Because one of the aspects that I've never been able to pin down, but it's highly coincidental, that what brought about a lot of this angst in Europe was the massive migration that took place a couple of years ago from Syria. And that massive migration happened just after Russia got involved in Syria and deployed their forces. And the head of NATO at the time accused Vladimir Putin of weaponizing refugees. But it looks as though the Assad government basically gave a lot of the Sunni areas that supported the revolution or the against him, that he gave them the sort of a window to get out before they got killed. And they sort of massively migrated through Turkey into Greece and right into Europe. And the rest is history in terms of creating this Islamophobia. So can you make the case that, as many have tried to make, that a lot of this is ultimately being orchestrated by Putin himself and by Russia?
Well, I mean, it's possible, but I would not say that it plays such a big role in this Austrian situation, as we had this anti-Islamic feeling well before this latest wave of refugees. So, of course, it became this, it's possible that this wave has been manipulated as a political weapon, and if it has, then it works very well, because it strengthened those feelings. But in fact, the problem, you could say it for Germany, maybe. Yeah, you could say in Germany, it really changed the atmosphere, the political discussion. In Austria, we already had this strong rightist, populist Freedom Party, even before, years before this sure. wave of migration. So, so it's not the result of it.
No, but Germany, it's widely understood that Merkel was the only European leader that sort of really did embrace it, not as a problem or as a disaster, as the way Orban described it as diluting Christian Europe, but rather she embraced it as a way to revitalize Germany's economy, etc. So she's the exception there, is she not, in terms of
yes,
conservative
yes.
government?
In terms of reaction. In terms of reaction, yes. So Mr. Kurz, who was our foreign minister at that time, always tried to distance himself from his political sister Angela Merkel in this way. So it's true that Germany, but still in Germany, I think the impact. I'm not a specialist on Germany, but I think that the AfD got a lot of strength due to this migration, to this refugee problem, while you cannot say the same thing in Austria, because in Austria the Freedom Party would be as strong as it is now, even without this refugee crisis.
Well, Christian Schiller, I thank you very much, and we should stay in touch, obviously. We'll know more on Thursday, but it looks as though the outlines are pretty clear at this moment, and you seem to be pretty sure that it's going to be a right-wing coalition.
Yeah, I think that anything else would be a big surprise, because for the Social Democratic Party to go into a coalition with the Freedom Party is theoretically possible. There are some figures in the Socialist Party who would prefer this to the role of opposition, but it would be such a challenge for the party, because there's a very, very strong left wing, a very anti fascist wing inside the Social Democratic Party, who would not swallow this coalition so easily. So I think for this to happen, it would take months and months of discussions, while a coalition between the Conservative Party and the Freedom Party is a matter of a few weeks, I think.
Well, Krishna Shiro, again, I thank you very much for joining us.
Bye-bye.
And again, I've been speaking with Krishna Shiro, who is the senior editor in the magazine and documentary department of the Austrian TV network, ORF, where he previously worked as a correspondent in the US, Latin America, the Soviet Union, Turkey, and Iran, and currently he's developing a new magazine program called 1-1. We're going to take a restation break and back examining the fate of the Kurds in northern Iraq after the government in Baghdad just seized oil-rich Kirkuk.